Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Tonight is the 2022 Fun Drive edition of the show. CITR offers a unique blend of programming across an extensive range of musical genres, as well as a blend of topical spoken word programming. This is made possible with support from our listeners. This year's Fun Drive goal is $25,000, and you can do your part by visiting citr.ca/donate. I'll be serving up another Greatest Hits edition of the show featuring some more great interviews from this past year. Full track list for these can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's kick things off with my interview from Toronto-based DJ and producer Vax. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Toronto-based DJ and producer Vax. He's been producing and DJing over the past decade. He's a regular of the Toronto club scene with frequent appearances at Coda and One Loft. Internationally, he's played in Serbia and other destinations around the globe. His tracks have featured on Tool Room, Glasgow Underground, Roosh, and his own Wasted Music imprint. I first heard about him on Roger Sanchez's Release Yourself podcast, so he is definitely being recognized and someone to watch for. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Vax. So to begin with, how do you define your sound?
I'd say my sound has become more driving and percussive than it was before. I've been focusing on bassline elements and the main groove to begin with, and less so on melodic elements.
Okay.
I like to also use a lot of like accent percussive hits and fills, that sort of thing.
When you were younger, did you have any musical training that helped you out as you got into producing as an adult?
For musical education or training, I didn't really have anything aside from what was necessary of us in middle school or high school. I played alto saxophone and clarinet for those times, but nothing like dedicated education in terms of music.
We'll be right back. Is there anything about life and growing up in Ontario that inspired you to produce the type of music that you do?
That's difficult to say, really. The underground electronic music scene in Toronto is relatively small and niche when compared to a lot of the other places worldwide, like compared to the UK or Europe. I also started at a time when electronic music landscape in Toronto, it looked quite different. Originally, I was into more mainstream sounds like Ministry of Sound and like those kind of larger outlets. So I listened to a lot of like Funk Agenda, John Dahlbach, Helmut, Ben Halden. But after listening to some sets, I heard more raw sounding music. And from there, like for example, FOMO or Jack Beats. And then I sort of dived into more underground sounds. And it's funny because actually through this type of music, I actually that's how I found out about MC Flipside and Hatiris, who I didn't even know were from Toronto.
So are there any underground clubs there? That's what I'm curious about. What is the club scene like in the city?
You know, there's a couple like main big clubs in Toronto, and then some smaller venues that host more intimate parties for smaller promoters, not as big touring DJs. I mean, just compared to a lot of the cities elsewhere, it's relatively small. But Coda is a really big club there. Vertigo is quite popular for the after hours scene.
And what was the experience like for you trying to get your foot in the door and establish your name in the city as a DJ and a producer?
In terms of trying to build a reputation here, I can just say really to focus on the music, because there's, you know, developing your own sound and then putting in the work day in and day out. And then, you know, it's just, everything is going to fall into place after that. You have to have like a lot of patience, because things go slow, even though you want them to go fast. And, you know, everything should be based on merit. And with that patience, like I said, everything starts falling into place. For me personally, most of my influences have been from Europe or based in Europe. So I just kind of focused on sharing my music through those outlets and was less concerned more so about how it had an impact on the local area.
So how did you first get into producing?
I was originally a DJ, and I just thought, you know, maybe having your own music would make it easier to be heard, because there's so many DJs out there. You have to stand apart, have your own sound, that sort of thing.
And when you started out, was there an aspect of production that you found challenging, or did it come to you quite easily?
It's a really long process, and it's like, it's stratified, so there's a lot of layers. Figure out first what kind of sound you want to make, and then the arrangements. For me, it was like a very long process just to figure out what I wanted to do. And then after that, it's just honing the skills on making it sound as good as possible. Like for me, I'd say focus on mix downs and stuff like that. That makes 80% of the track for me. You can have a great idea, but it just doesn't hit the right way if it doesn't sound clean and professional.
You are listening to the Fun Drive edition of Techno Progressivo. The station relies on listeners to allow us to continue offering a unique blend of musical and spoken word programming. I'd encourage you to head over to citr.ca/donate to make your pledge. That was a snippet of my interview with Vax. On to my interview with American producer Nala. Full track listing for all these interviews can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy! Over the past year, you've been doing a weekly Twitch stream for Dirty Bird. How did that come about, and what's the relationship with the label been like for you?
I first was in contact with Dirty Bird in February. They were looking to take on a new artist, someone that had like a different sound. And so we started talking, and then we developed sort of like a mentorship type of relationship. And then outside of that, I started TV Party, and after a couple of weeks, they just were like, you know, we really like what you're doing. We're trying to start our own channel. Would you like to bring your show onto our channel? We have this many viewers. It might actually be really helpful for you. As I was running my show on their Twitch channel, I was also able to kind of like hone in on my production, and like with, you know, Claude Von Stroke as like a mentor, he was able to kind of teach me some of the mixing things that I was struggling with. And with Andi, his wife who manages me, she was able to kind of help me with like the marketing aspect. So I have a very like great relationship with the label. They're some of the nicest people I've ever encountered in this industry. And TV Party has become kind of its own like, you know, staple on their like live stream channel, which is kind of cool.
Do you notice a definite bump up in your social media interest because of that exposure?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've been exposed to people who I just feel like are such like amazing, I hate to call them fans, I feel like they're more like friends, but they're like just such supportive people. And yeah, I got a bump in I guess my numbers as a result of being involved with the label, for sure. I mean, I think that's what you would hope from with labels, is that they would be able to get you out to a bigger audience.
Okay, over your career, are there any countries, specific clubs or festival type events that you'd love to play at or really excited to hopefully play at if COVID ever ends?
Yeah, I just want to do the whole world. Like, is that possible? I would love to go anywhere at this point. But I really do like love all different countries and stuff. I've been to Europe before. I want to go back. I want to go to Asia, all of Asia, and India and Australia, and you know, I would love to go anywhere and everywhere.
Have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong?
Yeah, one time I showed up, and this was like way early in my career. I showed up and I didn't even know I was playing. I just saw that my name was on a flyer. So I showed up. I get there thinking I'm going to be playing on CDJs, and it was all like Serato vinyl. So then I was like, okay, I don't really know how to do that, but I'll learn. I don't know why. I figured I'd learn. And so then I did learn. And within like 10 minutes of being there, like I had my dad bring me my computer and I like downloaded Serato, and then I put all my music on there, and then I managed to like somehow play a DJ set with these two vinyl Serato vinyls. Yeah, I guess. And then they're like, okay, great. Thank you for the first part of your set. The second part of your set is outside. And I go outside and it's only one vinyl player. So it's just the mixer and one vinyl. I'm like, how am I supposed to, I don't even know how to do that. And they're like, oh, it's all internal. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And somehow, I have no idea how, I managed to actually do it. It wasn't great. It wasn't great, but I was like on a stage with a spotlight on me, like freaking out. And I managed somehow to make it work. And I still, to this day, have nightmares in that kind of setting. I think about that moment all the time.
Which do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing, and why? And which do you find more challenging?
that's a really tough question. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I don't produce, then I'm not going to be like happy. So I guess that's the one that matters most to me at this point, is like being able to write my songs and write my stories. I mean, I love DJing too. I guess once you're your DJ, it's like hard to listen to music all the time. So I don't even really listen to music that much as a result, unless I'm like actively looking for music to play. So yeah, I think producing is more important and more important to me, 100%.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm DJ Waugh, and that was a portion of my interview with Nala from last spring. This is the Fun Drive edition of the show. The station offers a very unique blend of spoken word and music programming found nowhere else but here. The station relies on listeners' pledges to allow us to continue providing you with this content. Head over to citr.ca/donate and pledge your support to the station. This is a part of my J Tripwire interview, another taste of what you can expect to hear on Techno Progressivo every second Sunday. So let's look at the production side of things. When you're producing, which DAW do you work with?
I've always used Logic. I know Ableton a little bit. I know Cubase, but I used to work with Logic on, I'm going to date myself here. I used to work on Logic, original Logic, pre-Logic was called Notator. And then I switched to Logic, and that was on the Atari.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, so within Logic, do you use their VSTs, or do you bring in all your own collection of stuff that you like?
The native stuff for Logic is pretty fucking good. It's better than most like third party plugins. But I also have like I got a bunch of hardware I use. Lots of outboard gear.
Okay, so that was my next question. What do you have actually? What's in your studio?
See, Right now, I got like 3 drum machines, a bunch of different synths, some outboard effects, compressors, all that fun stuff, a mixing console. And I don't know. It's just I find the workflow with gear, especially drum machines, so much faster than if you did things in the box. Because I tinkered around within the box for a little while, and I, you know, because it was like fresh and new, and it was like, well, you can do all this stuff. It's like you have a $2 million studio at your disposal, and then you're like, well, everything sounds kind of thin. Why? And then you're like, oh yeah, it's not at all. So, and then also when I was doing it that way, it took a lot longer. Now I can just, you know, they just play with the drum machine, get a groove, turn the other drum machine on, you know, get the secondary groove, and turn the other one on, make some weird noises, and it's just kind of like, you know, almost like you're playing live a little bit, and then you're like, okay, cool, I'm gonna record all these drums, you know, so you record all your drums, and you do all the knob movements, and you just take these big giant takes, so things are interesting. Like, that amount of automation just took you for fucking ever.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, yeah.
You'd be like automating like what, like 11 different things one at a time. There's something that sounds more human and more like, you know, like you're actually playing an instrument, even though it's a drum machine, by, you know, moving multiple knobs at the same time and like knowing that, like, okay, when I move these knobs sort of around here, it's going to do these different things, and then I'm going to play with this effect that's on the machine, and, you know, you just kind of like, you just kind of go to town on each pass, you know, and then and then I send something to the Moog, and then I'm just like, you know, fucking around with the Moog with all the oscillators and stuff like that, and you just get things that sound like they're just more like machine musical, if you kind of get my drift.
Okay, when you are making a track, do you have the tune and melody and all that in your head before, or do you generally just sit down and muck about?
I just jam. I subscribe to what's called channeling. So channeling is when you just go in and you create art, right? Whether you're a painter, whether you're you sketch or a graphic designer or anything, and you just literally sit down and let the creativity come out of you. Because if you go in with an idea, you're going to sit there and fuck around until you get your idea out, right? And if you have all these grandiose ideas, it's never going to be the same as what's in your head. And some people, you know, they're going to spend so much time trying to, like, capture this little idea in their head instead of just being like, oh, man, I'm just going to create. I guess it's more of like almost like improv jazz theory of making, you know, underground music with machines. You know what I mean? It's kind of a bit more like improv, you know, you're just doing things. It's like, oh, I like these chords. This sounds good. Now I'm going to run through this. And, oh, yeah, that's, you know, it's like, you know, you just know your gear well enough that you're kind of like one with it, you know? I'm just going in to make these like cool grooves that are fun to play on vinyl and sound good, but then also like, you know, they're interesting for people to listen to. They sound really good, you know, when people are on drugs. Because let's face it, that's kind of like your target audience, right?
When you started out, was there an aspect of production that you found really challenging?
I don't know. It was just making things not too weird.
Okay.
I was like kind of backwards. Like, you know, I'm a bit of a weirdo and I like weird records, you know? So in my mind, it was just, you know, I wanted to make these grandiose, like really weird fucking records. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not ready for that yet.
This is Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. This is the 2022 Fun Drive edition of the show. The station offers a blend of musical and spoken word shows made possible with donations from listeners. Head over to citr.ca/donate to pledge and help us continue offering this range of programming to you. This show offers a selection of DJ interviews and guest mixes. Here's one final look at this from my conversation with Irish-based DJ and producer Gavin Boyce. Full track list is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. On Friday the 25th of June, your first full-length album, Anywhere Here, drops on Nordic Tracks. So how was that experience like for you, and how did you approach making the album?
Initially I didn't even think of doing an album until Luke, you know, I've been friends with Luke McKean of Nordic Tracks for a long, long time now, since Miami days in 2006, 2007. So Luke has always been challenging me to do one. So I said, you know what? Now's the time, you know, let's have a go. And I just made a plan, and they say don't try a concept album, but you know what, for this I just said, well, what would it sound like if I was to make an album of a DJ set? Just start out slow, you know, have some disco in there, mix it up a bit, almost like a mix. So I just wanted it to represent kind of the broad range of sounds I've been playing since I've started out. So that was my plan with it, and I stuck to it, and I found it helpful in progressing the album, definitely.
Was it ever difficult for you during the process to find inspiration to produce?
Absolutely, yeah. There are days where it's a grind, and you might get like 10 seconds of a track done, and it's absolutely horrendous. So during this, I did find actually stopped listening to a lot of music as well, which is tough as well. I mean, I was trying to make an album, so to start listening to other people's music, I went out a lot and went to some festivals, just relaxed, you know, feel what people are enjoying right now, what's going on, you know, because like house music is trends too. It's not just sticking to what you know. So even one of those tracks on their radars, I made that in an airport in Croatia in 30 minutes. So like, that was coming back off a festival that was really, really good, and just had a lot of good energy coming back at that festival and inspiration. So I just sat down with the laptop in the airport and got the bones of that track done in 30 minutes. So yeah, inspiration hits, you gotta jump on it.
Okay, so speaking of Croatia and traveling, that kind of thing, over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs that you've absolutely loved to play at or excited to play at, hopefully, when COVID goes away?
Anywhere there's a crowd up for it, really. I mean, I've from Miami, like in the old days, I mean, so many different people from around the world, it's the same thing. It's the same people. People want to dance. People want to have fun. And I've had probably the best times of my life 15 minutes from my front door here in my local town, with it's just crazy crowds. And then, you know, it's the same thing in Miami or at a festival or in Amsterdam. It's just it's it can just go off, doesn't matter where. So if you have people there that are ready to go, you know, it doesn't matter.
On the flip side of that, have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong for you?
Oh, horribly wrong. Let me see. What can I actually tell in public? I'll tell you one good one was when we warmed up for Carol Craig once. It was a good bit back. And actually, we were just after buying Serato. So Carol rocked up with Serato boxes, and we had a Serato box. So we were on stage, and we made the club was just packed, like 800-900 people, and we'd done the warm-up set for about 2 hours, and I love Carl, I love his techno, but I also really love Carl's kind of deep house remixes. So we made a point of like playing like real slow deep house and having the crowd just grooving. So I knew he'd come on then and just play some house before he got into the classic Detroit techno. So we kept it nice and bubbly. Carl comes up, exact same setup as us, Serato, laptop, good to go. And I'm usually the tech guy, but I had a few drinks and I just went to my DJ partner time, you know what, you pull out the gear, I'm just going to get another drink. So I just walk off the stage, next minute I hear clunk, and all the audio just cuts. I'm like, what the hell? And I turn around, and the whole club is like cheering, there's no sound, and my friend had pulled out the wrong Serato cable off Carl's box as opposed to ours. So the whole club system goes down. Carl's laptop, like back in those days, like Serato takes about 90 seconds, like maybe even longer, to boot back up and connect to the box. So it was like 90 seconds of the whole crowd just shouting at us, like, oh God, swallow me now, die. So and like Carl was looking at us going, oh, come on. So he just game with like Strings of Life, you know, the first track in.
Oh, yeah.
Crowd just goes crazy. So yeah, well, okay, nice recovery.
We'll be right back.
So can you tell me one or two tracks that you are most proud of producing? And they can be from this album or anything else you've done in the past.
Let's see. Probably from this album. I really like that Radars track I made in 30 minutes in an airport. Like, that was a fun challenge and it came out really well. So I'm proud of that. Let's see, going back. One of the first tracks I actually signed for an Arctic track was, it's called Sometimes It's Me. And I always kind of go back and listen to it because at the time I was using all the loops and samples and all that, and I really struggled to kind of make original music. So I just made a challenge with myself, just don't use any samples, you know, and see what we get out of it. And that was the first track I signed for Nordic Tracks in Vancouver. So I'm proud of that to this day, that I made the switch, you know, instead of kind of constantly just sampling hip hop records or soul or jazz. So yes, sometimes you need to just make a break for it if you're confident.
Transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
We are all done for another Fun Drive episode of Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and this is 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. It's been a great year on the show with wall-to-wall guest mixes and interviews. Head over to citr.ca/donate to continue allowing us to offer programming of this nature. This year, the station's goal is $25,000, and you can help us with that. Remember to check out Techno Progressivo's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages to stay up to date with the show. If you've enjoyed it and want to listen again, head over to Techno Progressivo's show page at citr.ca and Apple Podcasts, as well as all of your other favorite podcasting locales. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. For this one, let's hop back 14 years in time to 2009. German producer Chris Menace serves up a beauty with this one called Scalar. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.